I'm going to give you the word. I'm not going to go super late, but I want to get this word over to you out of Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6, it's the Beatitudes, and I think we could use a good dose of that. The Beatitudes, I heard a preacher say, these are the Beatitudes. This is how we are to be. This is our attitude. Now, Psalm 119, verse 59, and then we're going to go to Luke chapter 6. Psalm 119 is the longest chapter in the Bible. It takes over 15 minutes if you read it out loud. It is absolutely beautiful, and it will help you anytime you feel like you're lagging with the Word of God. It'll inspire you about a deep love for the Word. Now, this psalmist said this in verse 59, I considered my ways and turned my feet to your testimonies. The King James says, I thought on my ways. In the New American, it says, I considered my ways. And then it said, I turned my feet to your testimonies or to your word. This passage of Scripture shows the necessity of sincere thought on the ways of life. The Bible says, teach us to number our days. And it says that we're to make the most of our time, for the days are evil. And the Bible says to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord. The Bible does lay out God's express perfect will of how He wants us to live and how He wants us to walk. And this verse here is engaging. It says, I thought on my ways. Now, to become too introspective, where you contemplate on your thoughts and feelings and sensations too much, could cause you to cave in. So I'm not exhorting you to be overly preoccupied with self. But what I am encouraging you to do is consider your life, the length of your days, that Jesus lives in you, that He has a purpose for you, that He has a destiny for you, and that He's tracking with you and He wants His plan to come to pass in your life. This psalmist got a hold of this and he said, I thought on my ways. Now, the thinking part of our lives is essential for right decisions, for the duties in our lives. And God gave us this mind. In fact, the Bible says we're to love the Lord with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind, with all our strength. And He said He'll keep us in perfect peace if we keep our minds stayed on Him. So we are, in fact, according to Romans 12, we're transformed by the renewing of our mind. So this guy's talking about really meditating on and thinking about his ways. You know, in fact, Moses said, teach us your ways. Isaiah said, our ways are not like His ways. His ways are higher than our ways. So really, once we became Christians, we've enrolled in this whole crash course on how to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord. Now, this guy said, I thought on my ways. Right thinking will reveal direction. Right thinking will reveal direction. It involves ways. I considered my ways. Jesus is the way. You know, which way did He go? Where do we go? What are we supposed to do? When we start getting these points and we start doing what the psalmist says here, there's an inference here that maybe his soul might have been on the wrong way in some areas, that he might have been going down a wrong direction because he said, I turned my feet to your testimony. So he recognized there were some things in his life that weren't going the way they were supposed to go, and so he turned. Turning is repentance or change, and we are constantly to do mid-course corrections. How many of you are like me? The biggest room in your life is a room for improvement. Absolutely. And the psalmist is making these mid-course corrections along the way. He's opening up his heart. In Proverbs 13:15, the way of a transgressor is hard. And it says in Psalm 1:6, it says, but the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. But when your ways are pleasing to the Lord, the Bible says He makes even your enemies to be at peace with you. So we are constantly pressing toward this attitude of watchfulness, of making sure along the way that we're on track. In fact, go to Proverbs 4 before we go to Luke chapter 6. It says in verse 18, the contrast between going your own way or going God's way, the path of the righteous is like the light of dawn that shines brighter and brighter until the full day. Now, I liked what Nicole exhorted us. She's all the way here from Mexico. She had a terrible car accident a few years ago. God delivered her and brought her through. It was a long process, but you wouldn't even know it if you looked at her. She has been healed, and she understands. When her husband testified about the instant miracles, she came up alongside on the other side of the coin and talked about the process. And I appreciate that, because even though sometimes we have gray seasons and hard seasons, we're in winter right now in Missouri, but we know that there are seasons and cycles. And she said, don't grow weary in well-doing, because in due time you'll reap if you faint not. And so we know the path of the righteous is progressive. Progress. We're on a pursuit of the significant purpose God has for our lives, and it's important that we should think on our ways. In all our ways, we acknowledge Him, and He'll direct our path, the Scripture says. But it says, the path of the righteous is like the light of dawn that shines brighter and brighter until the full day. I believe this. I believe the end of a matter is better than the beginning. I carry this. I cherish this idea in my heart. I had a guy talk to me who's been in ministry for 30 years, and he says, there needs to be a voice to other ministers who are getting weary and tired, not to grow weary, to stay motivated. Well, I think there needs to be a voice throughout the body of Christ. The Bible says, as long as today is called today, we need to consider how to provoke one another to love and good deeds. And we've got to consider our ways, but we also must consider each day what we can do, not only to operate in the principles and the blessings of God for ourselves, but be a channel to pour out blessing in other people's lives. Right? Listen to what I read in my devotional, Streams in the Desert. I love this devotional. So God's chosen people, clothe yourselves with kindness. Our path is to get brighter and brighter. God orders our steps. Goodness and mercy follow us all the days of our lives. That means everywhere we go, God wants signs and wonders to follow us. It says in Mark chapter 16, these signs will follow those who believe. We're following Jesus. We are thinking on our way or considering our ways. We're turning our feet toward His testimonies, because I can speak for all of us. We're trying to be doers of the Word. And if we're doers of the Bible and we do what the Bible says to do, the Bible says we'll be blessed in what we do. So that's why we do our level best to press into this thing. If it says forgive, we forgive, and it does say that. If it says give, we give. If it says share the gospel, we preach. If it says pray, we press past the boredom and the laziness of our own flesh, and we pray. If it says don't forsake assembly, we show up at church. If it says do your work heartily unto the Lord, we bust a move. There's an old story of an elderly man who always carried a little can of oil with him everywhere he went, and when he would go through a door that squeaked, he would squirt a little oil on the hinges. If he encountered a gate that was hard to open, he would oil the latch, so he went through life lubricating all the difficult places, making it easier for all those who came after him. People called the man eccentric, strange, and crazy, but he went steadily on, often refilling his can of oil when it was nearly empty and oiling all the difficult places he found. In this world, there are many lives that painfully creak and grate as they go about their daily work. Often it seems that nothing goes right with them and that they need lubricating with the oil of joy, gentleness, or thoughtfulness. Do you carry your own can of oil with you? Are you ready with your oil of helpfulness each morning? If you offer your oil to the person nearest you, it may just lubricate the entire day for him. Think about the guys that got pulled over going, whatever, 70 and a 45. Think about how they cringed and how they were adding up the points on their license, the upsurge of their insurance, and the hassle of getting a ticket. And then think about the overriding power of the Holy Spirit telling the guy to squirt some oil, because in fact, God knew the heart of the police officer and that he was in a very despairing moment. They're freaking out about the ticket, but then actually God was more concerned about this guy's eternal soul and where he was at. So we need to consider our ways, because I'm telling you, God has enrolled us in something extremely supernatural. The guy at Sam's that tells me he wrote a letter to his uncle that he didn't open for 4 months and that finally something prompted him. He didn't even know what the letter was about. He opens it. He gets his heart touched by God. He gets born again, gives his life to Christ, goes home to be with the Lord, and leaves an incredible testimony to his unsaved brothers. The letter still circulates. That's a can of oil. And in fact, this old man that was oiling the creaky places, I mean, this is what I think we're supposed to do. We're supposed to consider our ways. I hope you understand, you don't have to be a pioneer missionary in Mexico. You don't have to be a surfer in South Africa going on a Bible school. It's the guy at Sam's raising his kids, filling up his cart, saying, by the way, I wrote a letter to my uncle. Now we need to consider our ways and turn to his testimonies if we want to be fruitful and enjoy the fruit of what God's called us to do. We know that our path is to be like the light of dawn that shines brighter and brighter to the full day. I believe that for my family. I believe that for this church. I believe that for our advancing years. I believe that for every part of life. The path of the righteous is like the light of dawn that shines brighter and brighter to the full day. Well, we know that it'll get worse and worse in the world, but for the righteous, it gets progressive from glory to glory. Okay? So the end of a matter is better than the beginning. I'm excited about longevity because I just want to see that leveled out, because in between there are challenges and trials along the way. But I want to consider my ways and I want to turn toward his testimonies. I want to keep going back to his word. In fact, today I considered my ways and I had to go back into the word, and I didn't even know exactly where to go. But the Lord led me into Luke chapter 6, and we're going to finish with this. I told you I wasn't going to go super long, but I want to get the word into you. Proverbs 4, before we go to Luke chapter 6. It says, the way of the wicked is like darkness. They do not know over what they stumble. So we know that our path is like the light of dawn. Now, my son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your sight. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them, health to all their body. Now look what it says here. Watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flow the springs of life. Watch over your heart. And then it says this, put away from you a deceitful mouth and put devious speech far from you. Then it says, watch over your mouth. These are watch out ethics. Let your eyes look directly ahead and let your gaze be fixed straight in front of you. That's watch your eyes. And then look what it says here. Watch the path of your feet and your ways will be established. Do not turn to the right or the left. Turn your foot from evil. So the psalmist starts out with, I've considered or thought on my ways and turned my feet toward your testimonies, to your word. I thought on my ways. And then see, right thinking, it produced a direction. It got him on the right course. He turned. He made a course correction. You ever have to make a mid-course correction? It's, I think, important that we do these constant mid-course corrections. The thing about aircraft, they don't have highways up in the sky. They do have path flight plans. But, you know, somebody that's inexperienced, they could just veer off course just a little bit. So we need to make mid-course corrections. We need to keep turning toward his word. He said, watch over your heart with all diligence. Watch over your mouth. Watch over your eyes. Watch over your feet. It's just important to have watch-out ethics all the way down the line. Okay? Now, the best watch-out stuff is in Luke chapter 6. So let's go to Luke chapter 6. This is Luke's account of the Beatitudes. Now we're going to finish with just a short portion here. I'm going to condense it by starting with verse 31. The golden rule. Can anybody recite the golden rule to me without looking at your book? Say it all. Start out with do. Yeah. Say it again. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. The oil can guy just didn't want to complain about all the creaky doors. He oiled the difficult places. And the Christians that are going to be impactful in this upcoming hour are people that have a bit of self-motivation and determination where they're constantly considering their ways. In a church like this, or in fact in modern Christian life, we can't rely on somebody else getting up in our grill. We've got to seek his face, and then we've got to devote ourselves to the big scheme of things and commit, because God is looking for that. He's looking for people that'll worship him with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength, and we'll press on in that, okay? Jesus gets up and he says, treat others the same way you want to be treated. Verse 32, if you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Now we're talking about thinking on our ways, so I want to stop by thinking on the ways that Jesus puts before us, and he's saying, these are the real essentials that I advocate for my people. This is kingdom culture. These are non-negotiables. This is what you turn your feet toward his testimonies. This is where our toes are, right on the edge of some of the grandest, most refined statements in the Word of God. This is concentrated power from the mouth of Jesus. This is a telling statement of how God wants us to respond to situations. He says, if you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. If you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners do the same. If you lend to those from whom you expect to receive, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners, and in order to receive back the same amount. Look at verse 35, get ready. But love your enemies and do good and lend, expecting nothing in return, and your reward will be great, and you will be the sons of the Most High, for He Himself is kind to ungrateful and evil men. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. Gulp. Do not judge, and you will not be judged, and do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Pardon, and you will be pardoned. Stop. Jesus must realize from saying these things to His people that they're going to get challenged on every point. And in fact, today I had to turn and I ended up in these verses and it brought such conviction to me as I started to think on my ways. Instead of blame shifting or instead of overly becoming introspective, I just wanted to lay my heart out before God because I don't want to harden my heart and I don't want to oversteer. I want to be precise in my walk, don't you? I want to have boundaries. I don't want to be overly vulnerable. I don't want to be stupid. I don't want to be hard-hearted. You guys understand that? There's something in us where we want to be the real deal. Jesus is at work in us, and He's urging us toward authenticity. And authenticity in Jesus is taking hold of these verses and actually doing them. Listen, it says, be merciful just as your Father is merciful. The pattern in Mark chapter 11 is have faith in God. Speak to your mountain. Don't doubt. Believe what you say will come to pass. Ask and believe and receive. When you pray, you believe you receive. And then it says, and when you stand praying, forgive. So I consider my ways, if we're going to move into 2007 with effectiveness, if our path is going to get brighter and brighter to the full day, come on people, get ready for this. This is the hard part of the preaching. Then we've got to take the back of our neck and draw ourselves up and steer toward His testimonies and park in these verses and do them. And when it says, give and it'll be given to you good measure, they will pour out into your lap, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. For by your standard of measure, it will be measured to you in return. We cut and paste that and apply it to giving and finances, and it does apply to finances, but it also applies to not being judgmental. It applies to being merciful and showing and giving mercy. It applies to loving your enemies. These guys in the Bible days had a lot of enemies. They had the Roman occupation oppressing them. They had all kinds of issues of their day just as intensified as ours. They had issues amongst themselves, and you could see that unfolding throughout the Bible. But yet Jesus gives these commands. The psalmist said, I thought on my ways and I turned my feet to your testimonies. Turning our feet to His testimonies will produce proper direction, right decisions, and it will also, and this is a good one, will reveal our duty. I made haste and delayed not to keep your commandments. We do not have any time to lose. We've got to beat a path to what is going to produce the greatest result. And so here's the issue as we deal with the inevitable challenges of conflict all around us. We have got to bless those that curse us. And the fact the Bible says, even as God in Christ has forgiven you, so forgive others. Imitate God as beloved children and walk in love. Listen, Jesus was kind to ungrateful men and evil men. And in fact, Peter was one of the greatest stumbling blocks in Jesus' earthly ministry. In fact, so much so that of all the people on earth, Jesus turned and gave the sharpest rebuke to Peter. He said, when Peter was saying, no, Jesus, you don't have to go die. You know, he was starting to tamper with Jesus' destiny and was messing with Jesus' head. He said, get behind me, Satan. You savor the things of man, not the things of God. You become a stumbling block to me. He rebuked Peter so sharply. It was one of the most thunderous rebukes that ever came out of Jesus' lips to any person. And then Peter goes and denies Jesus, not once, not twice, but three times. He's denying, I don't know him, I don't know him, I don't know him. It's the reverse of the call for him to be an evangelist. So he goes in the reverse. You would think Jesus would go, I am so mad at you, I'm as mad at you as I am at Judas. But no, he goes, when he rises from the dead, he goes, tell the disciples and Peter that I'm risen. And then he gives Peter the keys to the kingdom, and he forgives him. And he goes and steps up and leads 3,000 people to the Lord. Now, Saul of Tarsus is a total jerk. He's killing people in the zeal of his trying to exterminate Christianity. But God said, the Bible says, bless those who curse you. So I reckon some of the people who got hurt by him started praying for him. And then he has this experience on the road to Damascus. So church, listen, this is hard. Christianity is not all easy. In fact, it is some of the hardest stuff humanity ever embraces. But the good news is Jesus is at work in us. And that as we consider our ways, we also acknowledge him in all our ways. We realize Christ is in us. He says, test yourself to see if you're in the faith. Don't you realize this about yourself, that Christ is in you and you don't fail the test? So we recognize when we do get introspective, when we do examine ourselves, we recognize, hey, Jesus is in me. He's at work in me both to will and to do of his good pleasure. He's urging me on. I'm his workmanship created in Christ for good works. But I want to make constant mid-course corrections. We need to guard our hearts. We need to guard our mouths. To love life and see good days, the Bible says in 1 Peter, to refrain your lips from evil and your tongue from speaking guile. Ouch! We all stumble in what we say. I mean, it's amazing when you connect your mouth to your unregenerate attitude, your hurts. It's incredible what could come out of there. But see, God is calling us. He says, bless those who curse you. Pray for those who despitefully use you. In fact, as I considered my ways today and I turned to the Word, God began to show me answers on how to get out of some situations that I'm currently facing personally. In fact, I talked to Patsy and she said, you know, when you're not around me, this is what I think about this situation. But when I get around you, you know, you're saying these things and dealing with these things. Is it okay if we talk in here? Last time I preached, as soon as I went out, the guy said, are you grumpy today? Because I was preaching about how I was grumpy. I'm tired of saying all these bad things about myself. I need to start bragging. Nah, the Bible says love doesn't brag. You don't need me to pontificate about how spiritual I am. We need to not horse around. We need to get down to it. We need to be so candid about real life, or else we're just playing church. Okay. So, but on the other hand, we can win these battles. If Jesus says, "Forgive, bless those who curse you," then there must be some power in it, where he knows he could take hold of that, and you leave room for God's dealings, and you end up getting so loving. God does something where he changes you, where instead of going, I bless those who curse me, you actually start caring for them because the love of God is shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Spirit. This will straighten up the weirdest relationship. Sometimes it takes some time, sometimes a lifetime. Consider our ways. I thought on my ways. I considered my ways and turned my feet to your testimonies. Verse 36. Chapter 6 of Luke, be merciful just as your Father is merciful. Now, how many of you have an opportunity right now to forgive someone? Okay, we're turning our feet unto his testimonies. So what we're doing right now is we're turning to the Word. Now, when it says, love your enemies, what does that mean? Who are our enemies? Your enemy is anybody who's oppressed you or opposed you or brought hurt to your life. In the kingdom, he says, beware abiding and devouring one another lest you be consumed by one another. I've learned this in church life. I've learned this when you go through the inevitable challenges. Jesus said, it is inevitable that offenses will come. So what do? Patsy and I have been married. We're both strong-willed people. I've offended her, she's offended me. We've had to learn how to work through it. It's just one of those things. And it's when you paint a bullseye on something and say, I'm going to figure out how to do what I can, biblically, to do God's word on this situation. You say, well, I read that book on boundaries, and I don't think I need to be a doormat. I understand that. So we'll have to sort all this out as we consider our ways. You consider your ways. Don't consider mine. You consider your ways. And you say, okay, God, search my heart and see if there's any way of pain or any evil way in me. God, you know how to deliver the godly from temptation. And with every temptation, you provide a way of escape. Here's a young man. He's feeling cold toward God. He said, God, if you're really there, show me. God starts moving on his behalf. he was considering his ways. He was having a crisis and he was crying out to God. And there are a lot of us in this case right now. Some of you have been going on in church life for a long time. You're reevaluating and rethinking things. You need to recalibrate, make a mid-course correction. It's good you're here. You didn't let the devil run you off. At least you're still showing up. Don't let the devil antagonize you for showing up. Showing up's good. You know, it's not like, well, I just think I'll just take off, run off into the wilderness like the prodigal son. He got good results. Well, it doesn't always go that way. Stay with it in your pursuit. Now, you say, how are you going to bottom line this, Pastor? Verse 36, be merciful, just as your Father's merciful. I want to pray. We consider our ways, Lord. We know that you cleansed us from the consciousness of sin, but we also know that you grant us repentance. We know that you're God, and we want our ways to be pleasing to you. And God, we don't want any pretense. We don't want artificiality. We want to be the real deal. I know I'm speaking for every... How many of you feel that way? If you feel that way, raise your hand meaningfully. You mean you want to be the real deal. All right, God, I pray you help us to walk these verses out as practically and as thoroughly and as accurately as possible. I pray you help us to make amends where we can. As much as it depends on us, we'll be at peace with all men. We pray we would not be contributors to other people's problems, even people who have caused us to stumble and who have verifiably hurt us. We pray you help us. We come against unforgiveness in this place. We come against bitterness in our own hearts. You said, see to it that a root of bitterness would not spring up and cause trouble, by it many be defiled. We do not want to be ruled by bitterness. He said, I considered my ways and I turned my feet toward your testimonies, which means when he considered his ways, he had to make some changes. And so, God, I thank you. There are blessings to this rightness of thinking and this adjustment. And I pray right now you move mightily in situations. I pray for supernatural breakthrough. I pray I come against demonic strongholds. I come against satanic oppression. I come against the enemy taking advantage of these unresolved issues. And I pray there be an amazing surge of change where necessary. If the shoe fits, God, we're going to wear it. If it doesn't, we're not going to overwork it. We'll just stay in maintenance. To be forewarned is to be forearmed. If everybody's cool with us, then cool. Keep them cool. But if somebody's caught in the trap, in the snare of bitterness or whatever, I pray you help us to get back on these beatitudes, God, where we are blessing those who curse us, praying for those who mistreat us. Instead of being defensive, we actually become vulnerable where we don't even care about the other cheek. God, I thank you for helping us to be sensitized to your spirit, tough and hardened concerning difficulty. Tender spirit, we would not harden our hearts. We pray you help us to walk circumspectly and on track. Father, I pray for anybody that's dealing with addiction, substance abuse. I pray there be a tremendous breakthrough in their lives. I pray they would not continue in that snare, but you'd provide a way of escape and that they would be delivered from the snare of substance abuse, of addiction. And God, if there's anybody in here tonight who's not made Jesus the Lord of their life, they need to consider their ways and turn to your word. Let's pray this together. God, I believe in you, and I want to follow through. And I'm trusting you to help me to walk honorably all the days of my life. No doubt about it. There is a God. I believe it with all my heart. And I want Jesus to forgive me for all my sins. Wash me white as snow. Help me from the inside out to be the real deal, to walk with God. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for granting me repentance, changing me, helping me to walk on track with you. I give my life to the purposes of God tonight. From this moment forward, I want to walk in the Spirit, be about my Father's business, do God's work, do damage in the kingdom of darkness, put some oil on the difficult places in the world, in squeaky, cranky, messed up situations. Use me, Lord. My cup runneth over. Jesus' name. Amen. All right, mid-course corrections.